absolute power corrupts absolutely.
DJ Khaled. Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there.
Hello, once again on a Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you're here, you know what time it is. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and this is The Master Plan. I am also joined by my esteemed co-host, Rev Fantasy. And as always on The Master Plan, we're talking at this time of this year, of the year, I should say, we're talking fantasy football. Week 17, like I brought in with the music, all I do is win. You've been winning up until this time. If you are doing fantasy, you're in the Super Bowl, because this is the last week of the regular NFL season. So you're in the fantasy Super Bowl. For those of you that are in leagues that will go to week 17, you are some brave souls. That's all I can tell you, me being one of them. The brave souls to weather through week 17 with teams. Fortunately, there's only one team that's probably going to be sitting most of their players, but for the most part, everybody's on deck and playing. But we're going to get through that. We're going to go through the games quickly, and then we're also going to talk about players from the 2013 fantasy season who have excelled. And also talking about some of them duds, some of them busts, some of them first-round busts that you had, thought they were going to be studs, and they were duds. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Rev and me. Also have a chat room open. That chat room is for your convenience. If you'd like to ask a question, make a statement, or a comment in that chat room, bring it. We'll bring it back to you. But without further ado, let's bring in my esteemed co-host, Rev Fantasy, and get this show rolling. Welcome, my man.
Hey, what's up, brother JT? Man, I'm amped up, man. Championship week, we're ready to get it started. I can't wait, man.
Okay. Well, let me ask you first off, I'm in one championship. I had two or three leagues. I think it was three leagues that went to week 17. Fortunately, I got to one of them. I'm in one championship now. What about yourself?
Well, I played 15 leagues this year. I'm in four of them. I made it to the finals in five. And four extended out 2 weeks to week 17. The other one ended last week. Unfortunately, I didn't get it done in that. Lost a little moolah on that, but it's okay. I'm hoping to rebound today and get four championships out of it.
Oh, I hear you, my man. I hear you.
My stats, they're adding up so the people can listen to the good old Rev and what I got to say.
Wow. Okay. I'm impressed. Okay. I've won two already. I'm trying to go for my third. I had 11 leagues. Seven, which were money leagues, I got to the semis in all of them. Won two Super Bowls already, and I'm trying to win my third this weekend. So, you know, people, I'm not tooting our own horn, but I'm tooting our own horn, okay? Because obviously, both of us know what we're doing. We've gotten a pretty good ratio of teams we played in and teams we've made it to the finals in. So if you don't listen to us this year, hopefully we're together next year, if God willing. I would suggest listening to us from start to finish in the fantasy season, because I think we can help you from start to finish, from preseason to the draft, throughout the season, and hopefully getting you into the playoffs for 2014. With that being said, let's roll through these games, because we're going to run through these games, and then after that, we're going to talk about what the guys that you played or didn't play or wouldn't play in 2013. And do it the Olympic style way. So let's roll them through these games, and then we'll go from there. All right, from the first start, we'll go to the Panthers at the Falcons. Okay. I would say that Matt Ryan, in my opinion, is a sit in this. I wouldn't play Matt Ryan in this game. I think I understand they're playing home, but the Carolina Panthers have a lot to play for, and they're going to be primed up, one, because, like I said, they have a lot to play for, two, because Matt Ryan is, they're division rivals, so they're going to want to go out with the division with a division rivalry win under their belt. So, in my opinion, let me see now. I would play D'Angelo Williams as a running back two or flex, because Atlanta really stinks against the run. Cam Newton is a definite play. Let's see, on the other side, Roddy White would be a play at home with me, and Tony Gonzalez. I see this. If you have Tony Gonzalez, they're going to feed the ball out of him, because this is his last game at home in his career. So they're going to make sure Tony goes out with a bang. Red Fantasy, I'm not going to go any further. It's on you.
Hey, JT, you pretty much nailed the nail on the head. Cam, definitely QB1. They're playing for something. I like the D'Angelo Williams. I think he's RB1 in this week. I think he's going to get going. I do like what you said about sitting Matt Ryan. Roddy White, I would start Roddy White at a flex this week. I really like what you said about Tony Gonzalez. I think they're gonna make a statement game for him. His last game, they're gonna throw it to him as much as possible. And if you got to play a defense, I think this is the defense that you want to play this week. Luke Kuechly's a beast, and I would say it's gonna be too much Panthers this week. So you got those guys, definitely play them.
And it's unbelievable. They interviewed Luke Kuechly on the NFL Network this past week, last two or three days, and they had originally listed him as having 24 tackles, and they had a stat correction, I guess, on Monday or whatever, and it wound out he had 26. 26 tackles in one
Dude,
game. That's
animal.
Crazy. That's crazy.
You're talking about passes defend or tackles for loss, so that's crazy.
That is crazy. All right, let's move on to I'll go with my team, okay? Houston at Tennessee. They're down to the four-string running back. Dennis Johnson's not going to play. I think it's going to be Jonathan Grimes. There's two guys on the Houston side that I would play. And one would be a good move, would be a solid one to play, and the other one, I wouldn't say it's a desperation move, but he's been getting quite a few targets, and I suggest that you play him if you're hurting for a tight end. Quite naturally, Owen Daniel's not playing. Garrett Graham's not playing because they're both hurt. Next one up on deck is Ryan Griffin. He's been getting quite a few targets and making the most of those targets by making catches. And I think in the last few targets that he's got, 11 targets total, he's got 11 catches, if I'm not mistaken. So the only problem is you don't know which quarterback's going to go. If it's going to be Case Keenum, he likes to throw the ball a little further down the field compared to Matt Sharp, who likes to check down to the tight end. But in any essence, I think that Ryan Griffin is a decent tight end two, the low-end tight end two, if you're looking for a tight end. like you had Jordan Cameron, which I did, and for some reason he's not he won't be available because he's a concussion protocol. You need somebody. Ryan Griffin could be a good alternative for you. The other guy I was talking about on Houston would be Andre Johnson. He's going to get his targets regardless of his matchup or Case Keenum playing. Ref Fantasy, talk to me.
Oh, yeah, you said it exactly, man, for the Houston side of the ball. I like the Griffin as a tight end, too. I always got to give the benefit of the doubt to Andre Johnson. The guy's an animal. He's having a stud year. So out of a charity start, I'm going to give Andre Johnson a start just because their quarterback play is so terrible. I really, this week, I'm praying, and I know it's a reach, brother, but stay with me on this one. I'm hoping that Ryan Fitzpatrick comes through. And the reason I say that is one of my championships, he's my QB2. So I'm praying that he comes through for me this week. But I do like the matchup for him against that Houston defense. You never know, they're kind of Jekyll and Hyde. So I think they've already checked out for the season. So I think he could put up some numbers if possible. But I think where they're going to make their money, and I think Chris Johnson, they're going to get going. Sean Green could definitely get some red zone looks. Kendall Wright and Delanie Walker, also possible guys you want to take a look at this week. But I do like Tennessee and that matchup.
Well, you know, I'm not disparaging you for picking Ryan Fitzpatrick because, for the most part, since he's been in there, he's been a decent fantasy play, a very decent fantasy play because he's been putting up some decent points. In fact, the one league I'm in, that Super Bowl, I see him still sitting on the waiver wire, and I'm going back and forth, and maybe I'll even ask you right now. I have Kirk Cousins or I can get Ryan Fitzpatrick. Who's your choice?
I'm going to tell you, bro, I'm in that same boat, too, that we just talked about where I said I'm starting Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
I just ain't sold on – I'm not sold on Kirk Cousins, man. I watched that game last week. He was overthrowing guys by, like, 10 feet over their head when they were wide
mm-hmm.
open. Ryan Fitzpatrick settled in. He started now for the last, you know, pretty much the last 7-8 weeks. I'm going to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. That's why I posed that question because I'm leaning that way. I still got a shot to pick him up, so I got one more move to make in that league, and then I think that should be my move to pick him up. Anyway, let's move on to another division rivalry. This would be and folks, I shouldn't say another because every game this week this is a division rivalry. That's the NFL. Did this a few years back to make the last week competitive and then make sure that no one would be sitting their players. And the only one that's really sitting their players is Kansas City. I'll put that out there right now. So if you have any primetime players like Jamaal Charles and company in Kansas City, they're not going to be playing maybe for a series or two. Just going to treat it like a preseason game, and they're going to be sitting and watch the backups play. Anyway, let's move to Baltimore at Cincinnati. Andy Dalton is a QB1 in here. I'm telling you, Andy Dalton at home is like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde because he is definitely a different person when playing at home. Undefeated at home, he plays like he's a Drew Brees or Peyton Manning at home. And he's definitely a QB1 in my opinion here. They want to kind of like help the Baltimore Ravens, their division rival and one of the most heated rivals in that division, out of the playoffs. They win this game, Baltimore's out of the playoffs. You think there's nothing better that the Cincinnati Bengals want to do than knock the Baltimore Ravens out of the playoffs, then you're sadly mistaken. He's definitely a play. Along with his number one wide receiver, A.J. Green. And along with Giovanni Bernard, I like him a lot in this game. I don't think the Baltimore defense can stay with him, especially at home. These guys, like I said, the young guys, and they play a lot better at home than they do on the road. And I see them handing Baltimore a loss and a seat at their in their living room watching the Super Bowl in front of their TV. Talk to me, Rev.
Hey, brother, I got a history on this one, man. I'm going to throw a little history out to you. So usually these games between these two, it's usually in the makings of a defensive struggle. So keeping with that, I think fantasy-wise, this could be a dead game for a lot of fantasy guys. I really don't like, you know, no one on the Baltimore side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the matchup with Torrey Smith, Dennis Pitta, Ray Rice. I don't know where the hell he's been all year, but he sure ain't going to show up today to help him on that team. And I really kind of like what they're doing defensively, though, on Baltimore. But, like I said, actual to fantasy, I don't like the matchup. On the Cincinnati side of the ball, like you said, Andy Dalton, the matchup favors him, but historically he hasn't performed well in big games, and this is a big game for them. One, because they can move up a seed in the playoffs, and also they can knock out the division foe. I think the Baltimore defense can stifle him a little bit. However, you got to go with AJ Green as a wide receiver one or two in this, just because he's AJ Green. And I like what you said about Giovanni Bernard. I think this game will be where they kind of nickel and dime him a little bit, and I think that's where he comes into the passing game with those checkdowns over Jarvis Green Ellis. So I would give Giovanni Bernard a flex play this week. Besides that, I think both defenses are going to be at each other's throat. I could see this in a low-scoring game.
All right, let's move on to Indianapolis, where Indianapolis is going to host Jacksonville. Like you said, some of these teams have something to play for, some of them don't, but all of them are division rivals. So it's going to be an extra incentive to beat the better team, all right? I don't think that's going to happen here, but I like Indianapolis in this. I think Andrew Luck is a decent play here. I'm really skeptical about picking a running back on the Indy side, because the fact is Trent Richardson has been getting more involved in the running game also. So, and I don't know who's going to be the flavor of the week in the two running back positions. T.Y. Hilton. You know what? I'm going to pick a sleeper here because I really like this kid, and I think he's going to probably, if he keeps his nose clean, excel next year. I like Derrick Rogers. I really like this kid. I know he broke out one week, and you pretty much haven't seen him, but I like this kid, and I think he's going to make some noise in 2014, just as long as he keeps his nose clean, because he's one of these guys that likes to, if he has too much time on his hands, he has too much time on his hands. Let me put it that way. He has a tendency to do a Justin Blackman or in prior years, a Josh Gordon, meaning not be a knucklehead. I mean, be a knucklehead, I should say. So I'm going to pass it off to Rev Fantasy, and you can talk about either one of these teams, but that's basically who I have for Indy.
Well, yeah, brother, I think you said it right, man. I tell you what, I think MJG would sit him this week. I think he's on his way out of there, pending free agent. Anyway, I think Jordan Tottenham's going to be the future there. So I think this will be the last game we see him suiting up for the Jags. I would not play him today. Also, the guy that you talked about, I got another guy. I think we're thinking the same on this. I like Ace Sanders in this game. I think Ace Sanders has a lot of potential. He's shown a lot this year with the spotty quarterback play. I think with solid quarterback play, this guy could be a stud also. And especially if Justin Blackman comes back to form and he's actually on the field next year, I think they could have a really good passing trio with those three. I like Ace Hanners in a flex play this week. On the flip side of things, I think Andrew Luck, this is the game where he gets back on track for the playoffs, so look for Andrew Luck to go crazy this week. He should get you over 20 points for sure. Like you said, Donald Brown, Trent Richardson, who's it going to be? Trent Richardson's getting more carries. I still like Donald Brown in this game, to the fact, because he's more of a home run hitter. Trent Richardson's more of a banger. Even though they're both north-south runners, Donald Brown's kind of got more of that breakaway capability. Plus, he comes into the passing game a lot more. I like Donald Brown in this game. And also, if you're looking for a defense this week, go with the Colts defense. I like their defense this week. I like the matchup. They're playing for something. And they haven't disappointed in big games. We'll put it like that. So if you look at their wins, it's against the cream of the crop. And even though Jaguars aren't cream of the crop, this is a cream of the crop week. So I look for that defense to get you a couple possible pick six against Chad Henne and that crew.
All right. Another 1 o'clock game, another division rival, like we said. Excuse me. Having the New York football Jets, the Rex Ryan-led Jets going down to Miami. Miami wins. They have a shot to get into the playoffs, especially if Baltimore loses. Geno Smith on the road and the rest of the Jets on the road. Just like Andy Dalton plays lights out at home, the New York Jets play like they're the bad news bears of football on the road. So if you want a defense, let me put it this way, and I picked this Miami because of the fact of how bad the Jets play on the road. I know it's a division rival. I know the Jets are going to be more pumped up because this is a very heated rivalry for a lot of years. And they go tooth and nail with each other, New York Jets at the Miami Dolphins, regardless of where they're at. I still like Miami at the defense to pick up because the Jets on the road are very mistake-prone, especially the quarterback, and I think that's going to happen. I like Ryan Tannehill in here. The Jets' pass defense is absolutely horrible. I'm not too high on Mike Wallace. I think he's a flex or wide receiver two in here. No, flex. Let me put it as a flex. In a PPR, the one on the side, I'd really like, and I'm just going to concentrate on Miami for now, is Charles Clay. I think he's going to eat the Jets back seven up pretty badly. And I also like the other wide receiver, Brian Hartline, in this. I don't really like the running backs. They use a tandem of Lamar Miller and Daniel Thomas. And the Jets' forte in our defense is stopping a run. They're piss poor against the pass. So I don't like any of the running backs on the Miami Dolphins. Ref Fantasy, talk to me. I may have left you hanging out there with nothing to pick up, but talk to me.
Yeah, brother. You pretty much stole my sentiments exactly. Jets side of things, actually one guy that you didn't mention, but I like him in this game from the Jets standpoint, is Chris Ivory.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to get a heavy dose today of carries, which could translate in some winnings for all fantasy owners. On the flip side of things, we talked about Ryan Tannehill. I like him in this game. He's putting up decent numbers. He stunk it up last week. So I think with a big game on the line, hopefully he comes through today. And like you said, I like Brian Hartline. I even like Mike Wallace in this game. And I think Charles Clay is going to get a heavy dose of action this week also. And just like you said, their running back situation, I don't like it. I think it's going to be a heavy dose of throwing it against the gangrene. And like you said, if you need a starting defense, Geno, the last 2 weeks, he's disappointed me in a bad way because he hasn't turned the rock over as much as I would have liked, you know?
Yeah.
And that kind of backfired on me a little bit. But I'm praying for you, Geno. The Rez praying for you. Stink it up today, brother. I'm going with the Dolphins defense in most of my leagues, and I'm praying that you come through for me.
Yes, I'm definitely praying for him, too. I hope he has one of the worst games of the season today. Anyway, let's move on to another guy who had a pretty bad last few games, the Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings. This is a if you have Calvin Johnson, the chances are, and you got to check the injury report going into these games. It's a 1 o'clock game. It's an early game. Calvin Johnson is a strong possibility that he may not play. And that could be a fact. And it could be a fact that you won't see too much of Reggie Bush either, so because Detroit has nothing to play for. And Reggie Bush has been banged up a little bit. So, fortunately, I don't have Reggie Bush on any of my rosters going into this game, so I'm not worried about that. Don't have Calvin Johnson either, so I'm not worried about that. And on the Minnesota side, AP is an out. I did have AP, but I have a backup, not his backup, Toby Gerhardt. He's out. It's going to be a dose of Matt Asiata again. And good luck with that. I wouldn't guarantee another three touchdowns against Detroit, who has a better run defense than you may think. So it's going to be Matt Castle thrown to Greg Jennings and Cordell Patterson and Jerome Simpson. Matt Castle likes Greg Jennings. They have that veteran hookup, and these guys have a connection. If you've been watching any Minnesota games, you know that he likes throwing to Greg Jennings. So Greg Jennings for me is a wide receiver three play with some upside because he's going to be throwing the ball against that pretty bad Detroit pass defense. You know what? I'm not going to go into a lot of here. I could, but I'm going to pass it off to Rev. Talk to me, Rev.
Hey, JT. Brother. Like you said, man, I think a guy who stunk it up lately, this is a rebound game for Matt Stafford, so I don't know. I think I have a funny feeling that Detroit might have checked out. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think they might have checked out. But you still got to go with the odds, and the odds say this is a rebound game for Matt Stafford. So if you have Matt Stafford, I would start him. The Vikings defense hasn't stopped much of nobody. Not even a damn runny nose lately. You know what I mean? So, like you said, check the injury report. Calvin Johnson's iffy. Reggie Bush is iffy. I'm going to throw a name out there that you didn't mention. That's Joquel Bell.
Drake Bell. Drake Bell, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Drake Bell. Drake Bell is, when he plays, good thing happens with this guy. He's multi-talented. He receives better than he runs the ball, I think. And against that Minnesota defense, I think that poses a problem. You know, so I like his upside at a flex today, or even if you got to start him at a RB2. So I'm putting him in a lot of my leagues this week. I'm banking on him to get me something. Like you said, on the flip side of things, that there's two guys on the Vikings side that really intrigued me, and that's Cordell Patterson. I like this kid. He's tough. He's a big receiver. He's fast. Special teams-wise, he comes into play. So if you're one of those leagues that gets rewarded for special teams play, this guy is always he's a threat. And receiving-wise, he's always a home run hitter. I like him today in a flex play. Pick or choose who you want, him or Greg Jennings. Like you said, JT, it seems like Matt Castle, he likes throwing it to Greg Jennings, and Greg Jennings kind of resurrected his career as of late. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid like our founder mm-hmm. would like you to believe with Matt Astadia or whatever his cat's name is. If he pulls off another three touchdowns on 30 carries for 51 yards, I'll flip out, dude. I'll hang up my fancy robe. That's all I got to say about this game.
All right, let's move on to another 1 o'clock game, which is very interesting. Both these teams really have nothing to play for, just like the Detroit and Minnesota have nothing to play for but pride in the division. Talking about the Washington Redskins at the New York Giants. I mean, this is, you know, the only people watching this game are going to be the fans of Washington or New York Giants, because these two teams are so bad, it's ridiculous. So let me put it this way. I had Kirk Cousins, and we talked about it earlier, and I'm really scared because the Giants' defense, for some reason, had decided to show up the last few games, and they're playing home. The last game they're playing home for the season, because the next time somebody comes into MetLife Stadium, it's the Super Bowl, and they won't be in it. I like Pierre Garçon. I think in this game he's a wide receiver two with some very high upside in this, because I think Kirk Cousins is going to be running the ball, throwing the ball to him. The Giants secondary. I know the Giants defense as a whole have been playing well. When I say the defense, it's mainly the run defense, because the pass defense has still been pretty bad, even though Antrell Roe has been a standout in that Giant pass defense. I still like Pierre Garçon in here. I do like Alfred Morris. He's definitely RB2 in here for me. I think he's going to be running pretty well in this game. This is a tough game to talk about because the fact is, Kirk Cousins is a QB2 in a two-quarterback league. But otherwise than that, Rev, you got something I don't know? Talk to me.
I don't know, man. I smell some skunk in this game, dude, because this game is skunky as hell. Me.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, bro. Like you said, man, if I was in a bind, I was thinking about Kirk Cousins this week. I can't bank on that, bro. That's fool's gold to me, so I'm not touching Kirk Cousins this week. I have no choice but to go with Alfred Morris. He's disappointed me this year a lot. He has disappointed me. I thought this would be a monster year for him just because coming off last year. But I think with the RG3 effect, it's kind of tempered his expectations a little bit based off where he was drafted. You know what I mean?
In
fantasy draft.
But right.
With that being said, you still got to roll with him today because he's going to get his touches. I like him in that RB2 spot. Other than, like you said, Pierre Garçon, I'm rolling with him because that's the one guy they are going to throw it to. On the flip side of things, I don't like nobody on, for one, if you tell me any player on the Giants, I don't even know who these cats are at receiver. You know, Victor Cruz is out. I don't even know where the hell Hakeem Nicks has disappeared to. I don't know. I don't know who he's throwing the ball to. I don't like nothing they got going. I don't even like Andre Brown in this game.
Right.
So, I that's all I'm going to say about this game. I don't like nothing from the New York side of things.
All right, let's move on to this game. This is going to be a pretty competitive game. Last 1 o'clock game of regular season on Sunday that we're talking about is the Cleveland Browns at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Very interesting game because on both sides of the ball, I have these wide receivers in several of my leagues. I'm talking about Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown. I've been talking about Antonio Brown for years, even the last few years before Mike Wallace decided to leave Pittsburgh. I've been talking about how Antonio Brown, to me, had emerged as the better of the wide receivers. Been waylaid and whatever else from our founder because he was saying I didn't know what I was talking about. Well, he's one of the top receptions leaders in the league. I'm talking about Antonio Brown. And I also talked about this guy who was a troublemaker who was suspended for the first two games, and I said he was going to be a beast when he come back before the season. And lo and behold, I underestimated what I was talking about. This guy, in my opinion, is on par, in my opinion. If he does it next year, isn't it, without a doubt, but this year he was on par with Calvin Johnson. I'm talking about Josh Gordon. So if you have one of these they helped you get into the Super Bowl this week because these guys both showed out and showed out well week in and week out. They're definite plays, wide receiver one without a doubt. Roethlisberger is I rode Roethlisberger into one of my fantasy Super Bowl championships. Believe it or not, Todd Haley has loosened the reins on Ben Roethlisberger, and he showed out. Like the last half of the season, he's been rocking the throwing the ball crazy well. So Ben Roethlisberger is definitely QB one in my opinion in this here. Antonio Brown, the same thing. Le'Veon Bell, Cleveland earlier in the season had a decent run defense. That thing that has loosened up and people have been able to run on him. So I love Le'Veon Bell, and I love Le'Veon Bell as next year. My God, this guy is going to be a beast next year. With that being said, I'm going to pass it off to Rev Fantasy. Talk to me.
Hey, brother, you said it exactly, man. One matchup I don't like, I don't like Jason Campbell in this game. I just think with that Pittsburgh still has a heartbeat, something to play for today. Going into this game, I think defensively they're gonna tear the Browns up. On the Cleveland side of things, we're talking about other than Jason Campbell, Josh Gordon, like you said, man. We'll hear more in our Fantasy Olympics coming up in the second segment, but Josh Gordon, definitely. He's a wide receiver, you know, you can't even call him a one. He's above a one. So this guy is putting up incredible numbers, so you got to ride that horse, man. He'll get it for you somehow, some way. He'll be there for you today. Also, we talk about the running back situation for Cleveland. I can't figure it out, man. There's this guy now who's his name's Edwin Baker. He's been he's had a touchdown in the last 3 weeks. So that's where we want you to believe that he's a decent RB2 today with flex play. I don't know who this cat is. I'm not touching him. That's just my suggestion. I don't think he's going to get going against that tough Pittsburgh defense. On the flip side of things, like you said, Ben Roethlisberger, man, has been swinging around the field. It's about time. I like the matchup on the Pittsburgh side of things offensively. I think Antonio Brown, he just same thing I said about Josh Gordon. Guy's a beast. You got to play him. I like Emmanuel Sanders in this week, too, in possible flex play position. And I'm going to go out on it like you talked about, Le'Veon Bell. I don't even need to say nothing about the guy. He's a stud, RB1. Cleveland's defense is tough against the run, but I have a feeling they might have checked out also. But I'm from this area, so this is a rival game. So people get shot over this game. So where I'm from.
What did you say? People get shot over this game?
People get shot over this game. I'm just telling you. You know what I mean? This game, regardless. You would think Pittsburgh's going to mop the field with these cats, but I'm telling you, dude, people get shot over this game because I live right on that Cleveland-Pittsburgh border where I'm from, and this is a big game, you know, regardless if the Browns are stinking it up or whatever. So
wow.
I think, yeah, and I'm going to tell you what, I like Heath Miller also. If you're going to buy it, you need a tight end, go with Heath Miller this week. I think he could have a big day against that Cleveland defense also.
Wow.
Go Browns.
Yeah, I just realized when you told me that, I don't know why I forgot, but that you are from this Cleveland area. And you actually tell me, I hate to digress, but you actually tell me people get shot over this game?
Trust me, man. I'm from Youngstown, Ohio, man.
Right.
Nothing in Youngstown, Ohio but crime. And let me tell you, this game, every hoodlum, I mean, I even see, like, The suburbs get in an uproar over this game, man. You know what I mean? So some soccer mom might just start slapping the hell out of somebody over this game. So I'm telling you, where I'm from, man, the bars pack it in. Your local B-dubs gets a lot of play on this Sunday.
Wow. Okay. All right, let's move on to another story rivalry. Talking about the Green Bay Packers visiting the Chicago Bears with huge playoff implications. These guys, heated rivalry, one of the longest rivalries in NFL, and they've got huge playoff implications, so everybody's on deck, including Aaron Rodgers coming back, and including, you got to look at it, but Randall Cobb may be playing. I know he's activated, but he's questionable. So that means that there's a strong shot that he's going to be playing in this game, but he'll probably be limited in reps. But you never know, because he's been playing well. According to McCarthy, he's been doing well, exceedingly well in practice. So you never know. They may unleash the beast in Randall Cobb, along with Aaron Rodgers being in there. This is, in my opinion, one of the 4 o'clock games. This is a must-see game here, people. Green Bay at Chicago. You know about the rivalry, but Jay Cutler, possibly his career in Chicago may be on the line also, if he doesn't deliver a win here at home and push the Chicago Bears into the playoffs. And Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers coming back, hopefully he's not as rusty as most quarterbacks coming back, and he knocks the rust off and able to beat Green Bay at Chicago. I think Jay Cutler's record is like 1-7, 1-6 against Green Bay. So, excuse me, the odds are against Jay Cutler. But in fantasy, you have, in my opinion, some fantasy goodness here. Let me put it that way. You got Alshon Jeffrey, definitely wide receiver one play here. Brandon Marshall is the same, absolutely, wide receiver one. You got Martellus Bennett that is definitely playing here, because Jay Cutler likes to check down to Martellus Bennett if he doesn't have anything down the field between the two wide receivers I just mentioned. You got Matt Forte, who can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's had one of his best careers in Mark Trestman's offense, running and catching the ball out of the backfield on that side. And I'll leave the rest to Ref Fantasy.
Hey, man, like we always said, this is a fantasy smorgasbord right here, brother. There's a lot of people going to bat off this game. And like you said, on the Chicago side of things, I'm not even going to cover it, because you already know the blue chippers start all of them. Both these defenses, both teams suck, to put it, simply put it.
Yep.
On Green Bay side of things, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be that rusty, man. For one, Chicago defense is terrible. It might take him a half a quarter or a quarter to get going, but when you don't have a good defense, now if he was going against a good defense, I'd be worried. But think about it. He's been saying he's been ready to play the last week and a half, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
mm-hmm.
he's been getting a lot of reps at practice. So it's not like this guy just came off the bench and he's thrown into action. You know what I mean? So I think he's had a lot of practice time. I think he's going to come in, hit the ground running. I like all their plays. I tell you, James Jones, I really look for him to have a huge day today. I look for Jordy Nelson to even get off and get going. Shelton Quarles, I like Quarles in this game at tight end two, even a tight end one. And, of course, the beast. I call him Junior Beast Mode. Eddie Lacy, he should be getting fat this game, because Chicago's run defense is terrible. So
right.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to another one here. Yeah, going to the left coast, out where you're at, up where you're at, Denver at Oakland. Oakland Raiders and Denver Broncos have a bitter rivalry dating back to the AFL. Before the two teams, two leagues merged. These two teams do not like each other. I mean, really, really, this is one of the most heated rivalries, believe it or not, in the NFL. That's really not been brought out like Green Bay at Chicago or Baltimore at Pittsburgh or San Francisco. Well, I wouldn't say new, but this San Francisco and Seattle is another one, but we'll get to that soon enough. Denver at Oakland. Wow. There is nothing on Oakland that I like. There is absolutely nothing. I hate to say it, but I couldn't recommend anybody from Oakland. You know what? This is an election.
There's some plays on Oakland. There's a couple plays.
You're right. But the only one I could recommend in the Fantasy Super Bowl today, with some confidence, because I think they're going to move the ball, maybe not score a lot of touchdowns, but they're going to move the ball, and I think what direction I'm going in, the big-legged kicker, Sebastian Janikowski. I think he's going to be getting a lot of work today. I don't think they're going to be getting into the end zone a lot, but I think they're going to be getting within his field goal distance, which is 50, 55 yards and in. So I think he's going to get a lot of work today. Otherwise than that, I'm going to pass it off like a cupcake to you to talk about.
Or like Denver. Prior duck that he throws. That's how you're going to pass it off him? All wounded? Okay, later. So let's talk about this game. Yeah. Hey, of course we already know with the Broncos, you play everybody. Denver's defense is terrible. They're terrible. They're run down into the ground. I live out here in the Oakland area. Trust me, these guys are a bunch of has-beens and never will be. And they are playing great for a good stretch of the season, but they're beat down now. And it's starting to show. Denver's got something to play for. You know Peyton Manning's going to get that record today by halftime. So Peyton Manning will have that record locked up by halftime. I don't think you'll see Peyton Manning in the fourth quarter of this game because by the third quarter it'll be done. So with that being said, I do like the Denver's defense, though. I think the risk, even though they're kind of like, they're not a good defensive unit, they're pretty crappy, too. I think with Terrell Pryor coming in cold, this guy's a walking turnover. I mean, he's like Geno Smith. The one thing he has going for him, though, is if he uses his feet, it could pose a problem. So that does make me nervous against Denver's defense. But I think if you look at risk, you know, taking a risk this week, I think Denver's defense could be the moneymaker for you going against 12 fire. I don't agree with you on the side of Oakland. I like Rashad Jennings in this, and I'm going to tell you why. This guy, he runs hard, and he's in on passing downs, too. And I watched their games out here. This guy is really a solid running back. So I look for him to get going today against that defense because they're going to be running that. They're going to be running that. What's it called? What's the new offense that the NFL runs now? Like
read option.
Read option. So 12 players. He's a read option guy. So someone's going to have to get keen on. I think they're going to be looking at 12 Pryor, and I think that's going to open up things for Rashad Jennings even more. So I just look what he's done in the past, and I think he's worthy of at least a flex play. And I'm banking on him this week to get me something. And like you said, Sebastian Janikowski, both kickers in this game are good plays also.
Okay, let's move on to the where am I at here? Hold on. Buffalo at New England, where Buffalo has one of the worst records against a team, one team against another, against New England. They never beat New England. They're not going to do it here. But I do like their tandem. And I think both these guys are going to be running the ball quite a bit to keep the ball away from the New England offense. Quite naturally, the older of the two is probably the better play, meaning Fred Jackson. I like him a lot. Thad Lewis is going to be behind center. E.J. Manuel, if I'm not mistaken, is not going to be playing. Trying to think if there's a worthy Stevie Johnson is not going to be playing. So you got Marquise Goodwin, and you got
Robert Woods.
Who else? Robert Woods, you know what?
Stay away from them, brother.
Excuse me?
I would stay away from those guys.
Yeah, the only other player that I would play, and if you notice this theme, there's a lot of tight ends that if you're missing a tight end or you're in dire need of a tight end, Scott Chandler from the Buffalo Bills is a decent play against the New England defense. I like Scott Chandler in this game. On the Buffalo side, and I'll pass it off to Rev to finish this game off.
tell you, like you said, man, on Buffalo side of things, they're terrible against New England. You know what I mean? And there's no reason to think that won't translate till today. But I do like Fred Jackson. I like Fred Jackson over C.J. Spiller.
Yeah.
Even though historically C.J. Spiller, towards the last three games of the season, the last 2 years, he's come on, and that's what gives people hope about this guy, and which could play out today. But the guy who his problem is he dances around too much in the hole, and I don't like that matchup for today. Fred Jackson's more of a north-south runner. He's a no-tolerance guy. That's why he gets the ball a lot more, and he gets a lot more damage done. I like Fred Jackson this week. I don't like any of the pass catchers for Buffalo this week. I would stay away. Scott Taylor, like you said, if I needed a tight end too, that would be a guy I would look at. On the flip side of things, Tom Brady, even though he hasn't been great in fantasy, the guy's a money player. This is a money week. I look for him to do money things. So I would play Tom Brady this week. I'm going against the grain on this. I think my man Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola, this is a week where I think they could get going. And I think this could set the tone for the playoffs. I like both these guys. Wherever you could fit them in at a wide receiver 2, 3, or 4X. And it's hard to figure out the Patriots running back situation. So I'm not even going to try to figure it out. I'm just staying away from them all because every time I think it's going to be Brandon Bolden, then it's Stephen Ridley. When I think it's Stephen Ridley, it's LeGarrette Blount. You know, so my best way is like Miami's running backs. I just stay away from them altogether, and I don't deal with none of them. So you can do what you want with the running back situation, but I'm staying away from the guys.
I hear you. I've done the same thing. I never liked them, never even drafted them in any of my leagues because the fact is you never know who's going to be the flavor of the week, so to speak. Anyway, let's move on to this has got playoff implications big time. Both these teams got serious defenses, and defenses travel well, and it better because both these teams are going to be slamming at each other. Excuse me, they're going to be slamming at each other big time. Division rivalry, a lot on the line for both teams. One of these teams is going to have double digits and not make the playoffs. Double-digit wins and not make the playoffs is mind-boggling to me. Yeah, and it's going to happen here. I'm talking about the San Francisco 49ers visiting the Arizona Cardinals. And you better bring your big boy pants to this because the fact is these guys are going to be socking and rocking each other because, like I said, there's a lot on the line. We talked about this yesterday, Red Fantasy. I don't bring it up to light again. We had a choice of some running backs, one of them being Frank Gore. And a lot of people have ridden Frank Gore to the Super Bowl championship, may not have any viable alternatives like Niles Davis or Zach Stacy or Norshawn Moreno. So they have to ride with Frank Gore. But if you have any of those viable alternatives, in my opinion, and you could play two of the four that I just mentioned along with Frank Gore, I would fit Frank Gore because Arizona's got one of the better run defenses, and they're going to come to play today. So I like Michael Crabtree in this. I really like him because I kind of think Colin Kaepernick is going to struggle, and his blinky is not Vernon Davis. It's not Anquan Boldin for the most part. It's Michael Crabtree. The more and more they play with each other, him coming back from an Achilles injury, I'm talking about Michael Crabtree, the more and more they're going to have that connection, and they're going to need it in this game. Arizona's not going to let San Francisco run the ball. Plain and simple. They're going to have Colin Kaepernick. You're going to have to beat us, and that means he's going to have to put the ball up in the air. The four mentioned guys I mentioned, Crabtree, Davis, and Bolden should be I would probably I would play all three of them. All right, Vernon Davis is a tight end one, but I don't think you're going to get tight end one production from him today. Anquan Boldin is a wide receiver three, maybe two, but it's going to be tough going. Anquan Boldin usually has a tough time against good defense, good DBs. Okay. But Michael Crabtree is the deciding factor here, and I really like Michael Crabtree in this game. Rev Fantasy, talk to me.
Hey, JT, you said it, dude. This, like you said, this game's going to be a knockout, drag-out fight, man. But like you said, I look at it from a perspective. I do like the Niners. That's one of my favorite teams. I think this game rests on Colin Kaepernick. Solely on Kaepernick, what
yep.
he can do. If he can start breaking contain on that read option and getting out, I look for running yards from him today more than the passing threat because I think he could do something running, and I'm banking on that today that I'm playing him in some of my championship leagues. I don't like the matchup. I really don't because, you know, both team defense is a beast. And like you said, Michael Crabtree, when he's in trouble, when he needs to throw to somebody, he throws at the Crabtree. So I see Anquan Boldin, he gets pinched out of a lot of fantasy production. I think that continues today. I think Vernon Davis, this is just a bad matchup for him. Even though you got to play him at a tight end one, you have no choice but to ride with him. But I like Crabtree at a wide receiver two play this week. Because he's going to have to throw it to somebody, and it's going to be Crabtree. On the flip side of things, let me go back. Frank Gore, like we talked about, stay away from Frank Gore this week. Even though the guy's an animal, I love him. Sorry, Frank, you got to take a seat on the bench this week. You made a lot of people's fantasy Super Bowls come true, but if you got another play, play somebody else because it's going to be tough going for him today. On the flip side of things, I don't really like anything on the Arizona side, and it's not that the players aren't playing. It's just San Francisco's defense is nasty. And I think with both teams with something to play for, both team defenses are going to be at each other's throat. I think the smart play this week would be take their field goal kickers for both teams. I think
exactly.
he's a money guy from 50-plus, and Jay Feely is another solid kicker. So if you're looking for two studs in this game, I think that could be your two studs.
That's funny. It's talking about the kickers and studs in this, but you definitely got a point there. Let's move on to – now, this is going back to the AFL game days too. Kansas City at San Diego. These two teams absolutely this, believe it or not, he being on the West Coast – Denver at Oakland and Kansas City at San Diego. The rivalries that are in the AFC West, they date back to the AFL, and they are some of the nastiest rivalries between these four teams that you would ever see. Right now, we're going to be going into overtime, and then we're going to be covering the last three games after this, and then we're going to be covering the Fantasy Olympics. So stay with us or tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, is the Rev and myself on the master plan. As always, next week I'll be probably solo because I think Rev Fantasy is otherwise occupied, if I'm not mistaken, Rev?
I'll let you know. I don't know. The Rev might be off free schedule. We'll see.
Okay. The next minute we'll be going in overtime. For those who are going to leave us, thank you for listening. Happy New Year. We'll see you back in the new year of 2014. And hopefully we'll be able to pass on some more of the gospel that we've been laying down for the last few weeks. Anyway, let's go back to Kansas City at San Diego. San Diego's got something to play for. They're holding on by a thread. Kansas City is locked into the fifth position in the AFC playoffs. So they're going to supposedly, according to Andy Reid, treat this like a preseason game. Some of their starters, are going to be playing in maybe a series or two, and then hand it off to the backups. That's why I talked about Niles Davis, because the rookie is going to be carrying the load for the most part in this Andy Reid offense, because of the fact is they're going to save their precious jewel of Jamaal Charles for the playoffs, along with excuse me, Alex Smith. Dwayne Bowe's not going to be playing because it was revealed on Monday that he has sustained a concussion. So they're going to keep him out of this game. The only play for me in Kansas City would be Niles Davis, the long the handcuff to Jamaal Charles, for those Jamaal Charles owners or some of those guys who were astute enough to grab Jamaal Charles away from the Jamaal Charles owner and keep him on the bench all this time. If you're into the playoffs or, excuse me, the Super Bowl like I am, I'm bringing him off the bench and putting him in my lineup to play one of my positions, because AP is not going to be playing. Anyway, with that being said, Ref Fantasy, talk to me.
Okay, hey, JT, like you said, KC-wise, it's one guy. It's Niles Davis. I'm a little skeptical still. I'm praying that he comes through today. If I need him.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, he's still you got to go with the RB1-2 on him just this week, just because you got to believe that the production. There's only one person that's going to touch the ball, and that's going to be him. On the flip side of things, San Diego, you got to like this matchup because they still playing for their playoff life today, which means their blue chippers are going to come play. I like Ryan Matthews. I even like Danny Woodhead in this game as a flex play. Phillip Rivers, guys, unbelievable. I think Yoli will tear it up today. And you got to look at Keenan Allen. I like Keenan Allen in this game to have a big day. The guy that's been hit or miss, and I can't figure him out, is Antonio Gates. I don't know if it's just old age or what's going on, but their offense has been clicking, and Antonio Gates has been a hit-or-miss guy, and Ladarius Green's been taking some of his workload from him. So I would stay away from him today just because you don't know what you're going to get. So I would go with all the other blue chippers for San Diego.
Well, I'll make a bold prediction here, and I'll probably be repeating myself again. I'm looking for Antonio Gates to be slowly weaned out of the tight end position, and looking for Ladarius Green to get more involved in the offense. He had a short spurt there where he scored like two or three touchdowns in a row in games, and then he kind of like disappeared. But basically that tight end position for San Diego, which has been a strong suit for the longest, seemed to like fade away. I think that Ladarius Green is probably going to revive it come next year. But we'll wait and see. That's for another time. Anyway, let's move to St. Louis at Seattle. In Seattle. Seattle's pissed off. They lost to Arizona in Seattle. St. Louis is going to pay for it. But I do think that Zach Stacy, that bowling ball of a running back, is going to be able to run against Seattle's defense. A lot of teams have lately been able to run against Seattle. Passing-wise is a different thing. Running-wise, I think Seattle's going to be able St. Louis is going to be able to run against Seattle. But I don't think they're going to be able to do too much of anything. And quite naturally, they're probably going to stack the line against Zach Stacy. But this kid is probably the waiver wire pickup of the year. We'll talk about that later. But he's the real deal, in my opinion. Rev.
Hey, like you said, man, this game, from a fantasy standpoint, there are only three guys I want to talk about, and that's Zach Stacy, Russell Wilson, and Marshawn Lynch. Zach Stacy, like you said, I wouldn't trust no one throwing the ball. I don't trust anybody catching the ball on their side. But Zach Stacy's going to get a plethora of touches. until he gets it through running and passing. So start Zach Stacy. Don't be afraid to give Zach Stacy an RB1, even an RB2 play this week. Same things to be said for Marshawn Lynch. The yards haven't been there lately, but the touchdowns still have. I think things could be the same thing could be today because both teams' defenses are pretty stout. I think I could see him going for 18 carries, 60 yards, but I think he could get a touchdown or two today. So I like Marshawn Lynch in the RB2 situation. I really think this game comes down to Russell Wilson. I think him throwing the ball and making opportunities with his feet, you got to play Russell Wilson in this game. I think it's a tough matchup, but it's kind of like one with Kaepernick against Arizona. I think it's going to solely be on his shoulders today. And I think with something to play for, he's got to come through. So big-time players come through. Fantasy-wise, I just don't think there's a lot of fantasy relevance in this game, but those are three guys I would like.
Okay. Let's go to the last 4 o'clock game, which has got some implications, and quite naturally, all these are division games. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. New Orleans lost again on the road against Carolina. New Orleans scores over 30 points a game at home, and Tampa Bay happens to be the lucky victim this week. I see New Orleans, quite naturally, there's no brainer here. There's a no-brainer. Sean, of the Sean who decided to play Kirk Cousins over Drew Brees last week. You play Drew Brees. You play Drew Brees. You play Marcus Colson in this game. There's no two ways about it. Quite naturally, this is a no-brainer, absolutely no-brainer. You play Jimmy Graham. With that being said, Red Fantasy, talk to me.
Hey, like you said, man, I don't know what our boy, he must have been on that high dose of chronic, man. I don't know why you do that, but we told him. We told him. You don't want to listen. So, hey, this week, like you said, man, the Saints have something to play for. Big-time players show up in big-time situations. Drew Brees is going to kill it this week. Tampa has nothing to play for, but their defense is pretty stout.
Right.
But I still see Drew Brees. He's going to go crazy today. They're going to wing it all over the field. So I like Marcus Colson. I like Jimmy Graham in this matchup. I even like a guy like Dennis Foles to get going this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be rolling offensively. On the flip side of things, even though Mike Glennon's had a decent rookie year, I don't like him in this matchup. He's still a turnover waiting to happen. But I do like Vincent Jackson because Mike Glennon does get it down the field. I think Vincent Jackson can do some things against that Saints defense, which ain't that great. So I would say roll with Vincent Jackson. He's still a home run hitter at wide receiver too. I would even look at Tim Wright in this game. And if you need a tight end play, I would go with him. It could be in garbage time, but that's okay in fantasy realm because he can still get you some numbers today.
All right. And last but not least, the NFC is decided by these two teams, Dallas Cowboys hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. If you're in fantasy and you are in need of some points from your players and you have some players from either of these two teams, you're smiling because I think this game, in my opinion, I don't care if Kyle Orton is probably one of the more capable backup quarterbacks in the league, and he's been in the system for a while. He gets paid like $10 million a year to be the backup. That's how valuable they have Kyle Orton in this Dallas team. I know he hasn't played a start of the game since 2011, but playing at home, with a full week of practice and the full backing, quite naturally, of his team and what's on the line, I think this is going to be a fantasy fest here. Quite naturally, you play McCoy, you play Nick Foles, you play DeSean Jackson, And believe it or not, and this is tough to decide who I would play in the tight end. Excuse me, the tight end position in Philly. But I think I would play Zach Ertz. I think him and Foles have a connection. Because I think they're going to be, besides running the ball, I think they're going to be throwing the ball all over the field. And against this poor defense of Dallas, Philly should thrive. I went on that side because I want Rev Fantasy to go to Dallas and whatever other analysis he has before we move on. Talk to me, Rev.
Hey, brother, like you said, man, there's one guy you didn't mention, and I like him in this play. I think that's Wiley Cooper also on the Eagles side. I think they're going to pound Shady. It's going to get going. Just the way I see this game, Shady's going to get going. They're going to play action, and that's going to open up guys like Zach Ertz and Wiley Cooper, because they're play action kind of guys, because they're not good enough to get open on their own. Those two guys will come into play. Everybody on the police side, it's going to be another smorgasbord. Nick Foles should kill it today. Like you said, on Dallas side of things, some people are scared of Kyle Orton. I'm like on what you just said, JT. He's a very capable starter. This guy started a number of games throughout his career. He's been in big games before. So I'm sticking with him. I think today, even though he doesn't wing it around the field, when you got the tools and Philly defense ain't that great, I think guys like Des Bryant, still, you got to consider him a wide receiver one, wide receiver two, Jason Witten. And I think DeMarco Murray's got to be licking his chops today, thinking this could be his coming out where he steps it up in a big moment. I like he's their version, Dallas version of Shady. So look for my man, DeMarco Murray, to get going and get going a lot today. Stay away from both defenses. Both defenses are terrible. Dallas defense is terrible. Philly defense has been pretty decent of late, and you could think possibly some turnovers with Kyle Orton, but history shows he doesn't turn the ball over that much, so I would stay away from Philly's defense also.
Okay. And with that being said, we just concluded the last week, week 17 of the fantasy season. Excuse me. And now we're going to move on into the overtime session. We're going to move on. Rev Fantasy has some awards that he wants to give out in the Fantasy Olympics. Rev, it's on you.
Hey, JT. Now, this segment is going to be belong to me. It's called Rev's Fantasy Olympics. And keeping in the spirit of the Winter Olympics coming up, we want to issue gold medals, silver medals, and bronze medals by position to all our fantasy brothers out there. So, JT, I want you to play along with me and tell me what you think when I broke this down by position.
Sure.
Okay. So let's start off at the quarterback position. Coming in third place with a bronze medal, we have a tie, and that's Cam Newton and Andrew Luck, both with 264 fantasy points. I don't know if that shocks you or not.
Well, Cam Newton doesn't shock me, but Andrew Luck, didn't realize that he had the same amount of points. Okay, I can go along with that. Andrew Luck is definitely up there.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Andrew Luck, it really shocked me that he was up there with the big boys. Of course, at number two, we have, with the silver medal, Drew Brees with 311 fantasy points. And then going right into our gold medal winner in the quarterback category, the man, the legend, Peyton Manning with 380 fantasy points,
Damn.
Which is unheard of.
Yeah, that is unheard of. Wow. I have a man crush on Drew Brees, so he's up there all the time. But Peyton Manning killed it from the first week with seven touchdowns until right up to the point where he broke the record of Tom Brady's.
He might put seven touchdowns today.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, let's take it to the running back category. So,
okay.
Somebody some of these names, you're going to be familiar with all these names. These guys all beasted out this year, and some guys, this was redemption for two of these guys to come back, and really all three of these guys to bounce back from injuries from last year. And we're going to start off with the bronze medalist in the running back position, and that's Matt Forte with 218 fantasy points. So congratulations to Matt Forte for winning a bronze. We're going to go right into our silver medalist, and that's my man Shady McCoy with 243 fantasy points. So congratulations to my man Slim Shady. And that takes us right into number one. And who do you think is our number one RB of the year?
We celebrate him every Sunday, okay? We celebrate him every Sunday. He's got the same initials, Jamal Charles.
You are correct, JT. Jamal Charles, 295 fantasy points. And we got to tip our hat to both. All three of these guys are all three coming back off injuries from last year.
Right.
And so kudos to all three of these guys. Do you have anything to add to that?
Well, this guy is going to be the overall consensus number one running back next year, without a doubt. Unless he gets hurt. I would have to preface that by saying that without injury, this guy is going to be the number one, meaning Jamal Charles. But there's no two ways about it. If you grab one of these guys in the first round, there's no two ways about it. These guys are in ideal situations. Look at what I'm talking about here. And I've talked about this before at nauseum. And this is primarily – exactly what I'm talking about. If you look at these top three running backs, what do? They run the ball, they catch the ball. The most optimum running back in the NFL is a running back that's a dual threat. And also in fantasy, that's a dual threat. If he catches the ball and he runs the ball, he's that much more of a weapon versus a running back like LeGarrette Blount or Alfred Morris, who are one trick ponies. They run the ball. They very rarely catch the ball. These guys, their offensive philosophy of each one of their coaches want these guys to be able to run the ball and catch the ball in space and maximize their ability. Jamal Charles, LeSean McCoy, Matt Forte. 1, 2, 3, 2014 top three picks.
Hey, I'm with you, brother. Hey. And the funny thing, to caveat what you're saying, I think even if these guys weren't at the running back position, they would have 1,000 yards receiving. So,
yes.
They're all three blue chippers, and like you said, they're all going in the top five picks of next year's fantasy. So, hey, with that being said, let's move on to the wide receiver position.
Okay.
I'm going to let you see if you know who would be our bronze medalist. Who do you think is going to be our bronze medalist at the wide receiver? Because I think you know who the gold – the silver goes to. Who do you think the bronze medalist goes to?
The bronze medalist. Let me think here. The bronze medalist. The bronze medalist, in my opinion, but I could be mistaken. How about Antonio Brown?
Ooh, you know what? That's a pretty solid pick, man. And you were almost right. He was right there. He was at number four. He was
honorable
mention. He was honorable mention, but let me give you the answer. And
sure.
Our bronze medalist at the wide receiver position is Demaryius Thomas with 197 fantasy points.
Okay.
He was almost there. The silver medalist. I think you know who's going to be the silver medalist. Megatron with 212, which takes us right to our gold medalist, my man Josh Gordon with 213. 1 point separated the gold medal from the silver medalist this year, going into week 17.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
What I think about it, let me put it this way. He's probably one of the better bargains in draft. At the wide receiving position. I think I picked him up, in the sixth or seventh round quite a few drafts. And in fact, I probably even picked him up in the eighth or ninth round of some drafts that I put and got that type of production from a guy that most people discounted, like I said, because he was suspended for the first two weeks of the football season. But he had a ton of ability. If they noticed what he was doing last year, they would have drafted him. And most people just discounted because of the fact of they didn't think too much of him. But I love this guy. I absolutely love this guy. The only caveat is if this guy in the off season can stay out of trouble, because he's got that Justin Blackman mantra now. That I think if he gets suspended one more, if he gets in trouble one more time, he's going to get suspended for an extended period of time. So that's the only caveat that he has going into 2014 season. So hopefully Cleveland's got some stuff in place that will help this kid not get in trouble, or he finally gets it and then realizes he'll lose millions of dollars if he gets in any kind of trouble from here on. So,
right. I think they should treat some kind of like the Dallas situation with Dez Bryant, you know, kind of put some systems into play to protect this kid, because I think he's a moneymaker.
Oh, man.
The scary part, like you said, this guy is leading all receivers in fantasy points, and he missed the first two games of the season.
Yep.
You know? So, and who's this man? It would be scary to even see what numbers he would have put up if he would have got going that early. My question is, do you think Demaryius Thomas, of course, if he doesn't have Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, he doesn't put up these kinds of numbers. But do you think if you put Demaryius Thomas on any other team, he would do? He would still be a solid one receiver?
No. What I mean, put it this way. He would be a solid one receiver, but he wouldn't put up the numbers that he's put up quite naturally with Peyton Manning.
He's a 1,000-yard receiver? On another team?
Would he
be a solid receiver?
I think, yes. I definitely think he'd be a solid receiver. The kid's got a lot of ability. He was solid last the season before last when he had I'm trying to think who he had on the team besides Tim Tebow. He had somebody else. I forget who was playing also. But he was a solid receiver then. So Peyton Manning, because of his work ethic, I'm talking about Peyton Manning, and the attention to detail what he expects from his wide receivers just elevated Demaryius Thomas's game. But I think regardless of that, if he was on another team, he would still be the top wide receiver because of the fact he's got a ton of ability. And they would, whoever would be the quarterback, would try to get the ball to him. Now, let me put it this way: you're talking about Demaryius Thomas. I'm talking about your guy in Cleveland, Josh Gordon. What amazes me, let me put it this way: what amazes me is this. Now, we named three wide receivers, or really four wide receivers. Out of those four wide receivers, Josh Gordon is the only one who played with three different quarterbacks, and still balled balled out.
If he's with Peyton Manning, we're talking about possibly breaking Megatron's record, almost getting that 2,000 yards receiving. Possibly, I think
that's exactly what I was about to say. What would he be with a quarterback that's a lot more capable than a Brian Hoyer, a Brandon Whedon, or a Jason Campbell?
Even if you put him in Megatron's shoes and have a Matt Stafford throwing to him, you know.
Yes.
Okay, let's keep it going, brother. I don't want to waste all our time with the receiver. I know you're a receiver kind of guy, man. So I want to keep driving before we run out of time. So
go right ahead. We got plenty of time, but go right ahead.
Okay, let's move into the tight end position. So, all right. With the bronze medalist this year, is our winner at the bronze medalist at the tight end position with 141 points is Julius Thomas for Denver Broncos. So kudos to him.
Kudos.
Performance. Yeah, it's shocking. But you got to think, this guy's put up 1,000 yards and a lot of touchdowns this year.
Big waiver wire pickup for a lot of people.
Right. We'll go right into our silver medalist. You already know who our top two tight ends are going to be, and that's Vernon Davis with 146 points. And that's kudos to him having a bounce back season after kind of disappearing in their offense last year at Wake. And I really hack off to Vernon Davis for working hard. The guy's multidimensional, which leads us right into our gold medalist. We already know who that's going to be. And number one, Jimmy Graham with 198 fantasy points. So your thoughts?
My thoughts is the biggest surprise and the biggest pickup one of the biggest pickups on the waiver wire was Julius Thomas. A lot of people didn't draft him at all. Didn't even think about him until he exploded on the scene the first week, and then people couldn't get to the waiver wire fast enough to pick him up. And they didn't. He didn't. Did not disappoint him. He was very consistent week in and week out. And I expect that to go forward. I think Julius Thomas is the best thing to happen to him with Peyton Manning. Give him that worth ethic and that attention to detail, and that brought the best out of him. And I think he hasn't even reached the tip of the iceberg on his ability.
Yeah, I'm with you, JT. I think with this guy, you got to think too. You're talking about a guy who's like in his second year in the league, young, like 23, 24 years old. So there's no reason to think, as long as Peyton Manning's there, that this guy ain't going to put up monster numbers for years to come.
Right.
Okay. That's good, man. So you kind of like this, the Winter Olympics feel that we're going with, man? You like this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm enjoying this without a doubt. We got anything else, or is that it?
Oh, no, man, we got all kinds of categories, man. We're going straight into team defense, man.
Okay.
We're going to give medals out to team defenses.
Okay.
Which you're going to be shocked about this. You're going to be – I was shocked. I didn't see this. But our bronze medalists in team defense, if you could pick this, I'll end the segment. Who do you think our bronze medalist?
Bronze medalist. Let me think now. Let me think. I would say the – bronze medalist would be the Arizona Cardinals.
Holy man, dude. I'm about to shut up. You just picked it right on the dot, man.
Am I right?
Bronze medalist with 163 points, man. Arizona Cardinals.
Wow.
Yep, you were right. That'll take us right into our silver medalist, Carolina Panthers, with 168 points.
Right.
And we actually, which was really shocking, too, was at number one, we had a tie for fantasy gold and team defenses, and that was the Seattle Seahawks and the Kansas City Chiefs defense.
Really?
177 points. And you'd be shocked because you think of the 49ers, you think some of the other team defenses, even the St. Louis Rams. So your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm shocked because I know the Kansas City Chiefs were really the top defense for the first half. But they really fell off the grid, and we're getting some serious points scored up against them, the second half of the season. So I thought they had fell off the top three or four. I'm shocked that they're tied with the Seattle Seahawks. I just naturally assumed that Seattle Seahawks were the number one. I'm definitely shocked that the Kansas City Chiefs held on to the number one position tied with Seattle. I'm really shocked at that.
Yeah, I was shocked that the San Francisco defense wasn't up there, at least at a bronze medal. I thought they would at least be a bronze medalist. So when I did my little research last night, I was kind of blown away. So, okay. Well, this next category is a category no one really gives much attention to, but today on our show, man, we're going to give some love to the kickers, man. So we're going to give a little love to the lonely field goal kicker, man.
Kickers and, people, too.
Yeah, good people too, man. Good people, they need love, right? So, hey, in fantasy, I love them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, with this being said, our bronze medalist with 150 points scored is my man, Justin Tucker, for the Baltimore Ravens, who hit that 61-yarder and scored some big numbers just a couple weeks ago. He had like 25 fantasy points in one game, which was crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. You're right.
And then that takes us right into our silver medalist, the guy who broke the NFL record this year, Matt Painter, with 157 points on that. He had that miraculous 65-yarder this year.
Yep.
And then a guy that you don't think much of, but I think with their woes on offense scoring the ball, it provided him a lot of fantasy upside, with Steven Gronkowski, the kicker for the Patriots, with 161, won fantasy gold this year in our kicker.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Now, I assume those two would be up there, Tucker and who's the other one? Prater, because of the lack of offense, but they put him in position. I'm talking about the Ravens, and because of the offense, and as much scoring that the Denver Broncos do. But wow, the Patriots!
I was shocked. I thought a guy like Robbie Gould. Just a couple of kickers off the top of my head. Phil Dawson had a solid year, so there were a lot of kickers I thought that were worthy of getting in those top three, but those were our top three. Which,
wow.
Now I'm going to take it in a different direction, JT. Now I'm going to take it into – I'm going to talk about fantasy. What do you want to do? You want a rookie of the year? Do you want a dud of the year? Or do you want a newcomer of the year?
You tell me, man. You running it. You go. You go whatever direction you like to go.
Let me throw a little knowledge on you real quick. Let's go with the rookie of the year. So we're going to talk about fantasy rookie of the year. Who do you think is our bronze medalist at rookie of the year?
Ooh, rookie of the year.
Who do you think would be our bronze medalist?
Bronze medalist. I would say it would be.
It was tight.
How about Le'Veon Bell?
You nailed it right on the head. 145 points from Le'Veon Bell. All right. Who do you think will be our second?
Ooh. I got two guys in mind. One's a wide receiver and one's a running back. I would say Keenan Allen.
Ooh, that's a pretty good pick. But actually, it's your man, Zach Stacy, with 147 points.
Okay.
So you were that silver medalist, and which takes us to our number one guy, and who do you think was the number one rookie this year?
Well, number one rookie, then, if not Keenan Allen, it's got to be Giovanni Bernard.
No, man, you're overlooking this guy. Eddie Lacy, well,
Oh, my God. I forgot all about him. Wow. Wow.
But the caveat what you said, we're going to give honorable mention to guys that were really close to getting a medal, and that was actually Giovanni Bernard, who finished with 142 points. And actually another guy we're going to give a little love to, Mike Glennon, with 137 points this year.
Mike Glennon, the quarterback?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Wow. I wouldn't say I'm surprised, but I just, for some reason, I drew a blank in Zach Stacy and Eddie Lacy for some reason. Wow. And I'm really not a wide receiver guy, even though I pumped up a lot of wide receivers this year. For the most part, I'm a running back guy. So I'm really disappointed in myself that I didn't bring those two guys out because they balled out, and they're going to be balling out. As long as they stay healthy, they're going to be balling out for the team for quite a while.
Yeah, you're right about that, bud. All right, man. Hey, let's move right into our next category, and that was Fantasy Newcomer of the Year. Now, this category, it doesn't necessarily mean they're a newcomer to the league. This is just based off big numbers that they put up on where they were drafted. So this is like a draft ratio to points ratio. Draft to point. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, yep. I understand what you're saying.
All right, so who do you think was our bronze medalist?
Ooh.
We haven't mentioned his name yet, so it's a running back.
It's a running – oh, how about – wow. He probably – I know he's got to be in the top three. How about No'Shawn Moreno?
Yeah, right, buddy. 208, man, for the year 208, a bronze medalist, no Sean Marino. Guy was even thought of. Most leagues, he wouldn't even draft it. He was a waiver pickup. If he was drafted, he was drafted in, after, the, you know, 9th, 10th round of most leagues.
Right.
Yeah, all right, which takes us to our silver medalist. Who do you think our silver medalist is? We talked about this guy already earlier. This guy had an unbelievable year.
Oof. You got to tell me, man, because we talked about quite a few. Just rattle them off.
He's a receiver. He's a receiver. All right, I'll give it to you. Josh Gordon.
Yeah. Okay.
Points, most people didn't have Josh Gordon on their radar. The guy's put up unbelievable numbers, leading the NFL in receiving, and he's leading all receivers in fantasy points. So. And then this will be shocking to you. Our number one fantasy newcomer of the year. This is Rez's pick for fantasy newcomer of the year. Who do you think it is? It's a quarterback.
Well, wow. Well, the only other quarterback I can think of that surprised a lot of people, wasn't thought about earlier in the season, would be Nick Foles.
You're right. Number one, Nick Foles with 235 points. Nick Foles killed it this year. With his interception to turnover ratio is unbelievable. And, that was our top three medalists. I'm going to give some honorable mentions to a couple guys also in this category. And that would be Philip Rivers, who had a bounce-back year, who had 257 fantasy points. He even had more than Nick Cole.
Mm-hmm.
And Julius Thomas, who we talked about before with 141. So your thoughts on the Fantasy Newcomer of the Year Award?
Well, I have to admit that if you look at all these guys, the only guy, none of these guys were drafted high. You just look at what you're talking about. Nick Foles, Sean Marino, Julius Thomas, Rivers, Josh Gordon. I don't know who else I'm leaving out, but all those guys were either not drafted or drafted real low in people's fantasy drafts, like afterthoughts, like a handcuff to Michael Vick for London, or like a second quarterback such as in Philip Rivers, or like a handcuff to Monty Ball, Marino, I should say, or Josh Gordon, pick him up as a wide receiver 2 or 3 or something like that, not thinking he's going to do that much. Or Julius Thomas, probably not even drafted or just drafted real low as a throw-in tight end because you drafted a whole bunch of other skill positions before that. So all these guys you're talking about were not drafted high and quite naturally were drafted probably the 7th, 8th round and beyond. So it's amazing. All those guys we got there, and these guys were serious ballers throughout the year in fantasy.
Yeah, I'm with you, man, and which leads us to our next category, and this is my favorite category before we get to the MVP of fantasy. This is the fantasy dud of the year. I like this award because there's nothing I hate than a dud. You know what I mean? And
sure,
we're gonna,
absolutely.
We're going to kick these guys while they're down, and I hate to defecate on somebody, but, hey, why not? For the sense of humor for today's purposes. All right. We're going to start off with honorable mention in this category. Honorable mention. So stick with me on this one. So honorable mention is going to go to the duo. Now, these are all in duos. I broke them down in because there's so many duds. I had to break it down in duos. So I kind of broke it down in either saying like a running back combo, a quarterback combo, a receiver combo, or just a mix of a plethora of positions. So the first combo that gets honorable mention in the Dud of the Year Award, drum roll please, that is RG3 and Colin Kaepernick.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. As much as they were hyped, they thoroughly disappointed a lot of fantasy people of their inconsistent play or lack of play.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk about our bronze medalist. Man, I wish I had some kind of music plan, but our budget cuts, man. FFP ain't paying the damn bill, so we ain't got no music.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Let me see if I can get some music for you here.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Not that one.
Okay.
How about
here we go.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Play some of those music. So we got some more guys. We got a death plate on.
McCoy.
All right. So our bronze medalist this year goes to Hakeem Nicks and Roddy White, who both put up. Roddy White put up 67 fantasy points. Hakeem Nicks put up 80 fantasy points. Your thoughts?
You know, let me tell you something. I've never liked Hakeem Nicks. I just think he never impressed me. He was too inconsistent, even when supposedly he was at the top of his game. He was always getting hurt. And I just didn't like him. Roddy White, always a promise that he was going to play this week. He was getting better. And because of his stubbornness and the team's loyalty to the player, instead of shutting him down when he should have been shutting down earlier in the season, they kept running him out there, and he kept disappointing fantasy players, whoever put him into the lineup, until they got smart enough that they just totally put him on the bench or even put him on the waiver wire. And he came on later in the season, but it was like too late because they had spent the high draft pick picking up Roddy White.
Right. All right, but let me hit for our silver medalist. Let me hear some music real quick.
You got it there.
Okay. So our silver medalist goes to my man, DJ Spiller, and Ray Rice. Ray Rice put up 101 fantasy points. DJ Spiller put up 97 fantasy points. Both silver medalists in Dud of the Year. Your
Absolutely.
Thoughts.
These two guys, Ray Rice was a top, I think it was a top five pick, along with CJ Spiller was a top seven pick, if I'm not mistaken. And both those guys were huge, huge duds. I never drafted Ray Rice in any of my drafts. I drafted CJ Spiller hoping that he would fulfill what everybody was promising. I drank that Kool-Aid and quickly got rid of it once I realized that he was nothing more than a figment of my imagination. So, word to the wise, he isn't what he's supposed to be. Let me put it that way, in the words of Denny Green. I can't argue with those. I cannot argue with those at all. They were definitely big time studs.
And you know what? I want to give them the gold medal because they really stunk it up. And let me tell you, those two knuckleheads ruined at least three of my leagues because I drafted at least one or two of them in some of my leagues. So I just want to say thank you to both those bums for ruining a couple of my leagues this year. So, and you should have got the gold medal. I had them templated to get the gold medal. But there's two other guys that really pissed me off just a little bit more. It was neck and neck, man. You might not agree with me on this one. These guys are teammates. So, teammates, I'm going to give the Dud of the Year gold medal to Steven Ridley and Danny Amendola. Both put up 70 fantasy points. Good riddance to both of you.
Yeah, there was a big thing, big hype for Danny Amendola. But I wasn't buying that Kool-Aid. He was an accident waiting to happen, and it proved right throughout the season. I don't know what to say, man. I mean, Danny Amendola, I don't know. That's bad money spent instead of keeping Wes Walker. They decided to spend it and cheap out on Danny Amendola, which is what that organization does. They don't like to spend money, and I can't blame them. But when you have Tom Brady's blinky go to a different team, especially to Peyton Manning, and you try to pick up the poor man's Wes Welker, you get what you pay for. So
exactly. I'll tell you what, though, these two guys ruined most of my leagues that I played in, even more than C.J. Spiller and Ray Rice, because I drafted both these guys in a lot of leagues thinking they were going to put up big numbers offensively. I thought, really, Stephen Ridley is really disappointing to me. You already knew Denny Amendola. His knock has always been he has potential, but he gets hurt. Which team has played this year? You always heard that. Okay, great. I still rolled the dice and said, oh, you know what? He's still a wide receiver one to me with Tom Brady. He's going to make him a stud. You know, he's going to be the next Wes Walker. Like we said, he was a poor man's Wes Walker with the Rams.
He is what he is.
He was a PPR genius until he got to New England, and then he just laid an egg. Stephen Ridley, I don't even know where to begin with this guy. It's just like Ray Rice and these guys. The guy's young. I'm thinking he's the next stud to come along. And I don't know what I missed on this guy. I don't know if I know I'm not the only person that missed on him. All the experts missed. I'm sure you missed on him a little bit.
No. You know, the reason why I'm saying that is I never was too high on any New England running backs. There's two coaches that remind me when they deal with the two coaches that I stay away from the running backs and don't draft the running backs is a Mike Shanahan team and a Bill Belichick team, because they play musical running backs. I'm surprised that Shanahan has stuck with Alfred Morris for these past two seasons, because before that he was playing musical running backs. But Bill Belichick is still doing the same thing. And he rotates those running backs constantly. Blunt, Ridley, Bolden, Vereen. You never know who's going to be, like I keep on saying, you never know who's going to be the flavor of the week. So with that being said, I stay away from them, because the fact is I want somebody who's going to be consistently in there, not on somebody who's going to be running this week, and next week he's going to be only inactive, healthy inactive. Which
yeah,
Belichick does that a lot. So
I'm mad I drank the Kool-Aid, man, and I really am upset that I drank the Kool-Aid on that one. But for those that as category, I don't think you can argue. All those guys are duds of the year. Can we agree?
I definitely have to agree. I mean, that was a heck of a list, and you nailed it. Let me put it that way. You nailed it. Absolutely nailed it.
Okay, and this is going to lead us to our last category of the day, our Olympics, Fantasy Olympics, and that takes us to the MVP. Fantasy MVP. We're going to kick it off with honorable mention in the MVP category, and that goes to my man, Slim Shady McCoy, with 213 fantasy points.
Okay. Young kid, in an ideal offense for him. He's upside. He's still got upside. Believe it or not, he still has upside. He's young. He's enthusiastic. They use him the right way. They don't abuse him. And he's got a capable backup. That's when I say they don't abuse him. So he's got a ton of upside and an offense that matches him to a T.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, JT, man. This guy's in the right offense, the right fit. And he's only going to get better and grow, because Nick Foles is going to continue to grow in that offense also.
Yep.
And they're only going to add more. I think in the draft they're going to go out and get more to add. So, and once they get that line shored up a little bit more, I think it's going to be even bigger numbers. So let's go with the bronze medalist in the MVP category. Bronze medalist. And it saddens me, because I really, he's number one in my heart. And I know he's number one in your heart, and that goes to my man, Jamal Charles, with 295 fantasy points.
What? Bronze? He's the bronze? Oh, my God. Okay. I got to see the silver and the gold for this. Oh, my. Okay. Jamal Charles. Okay. He's wow. Okay. I'm shocked. You definitely shocked me with that one.
A little fabricating on that one? I was torn. I want to give him the silver. I really wanted to give him the silver, but I just couldn't do it. and I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it, man. And which takes us to my silver medalist, and that's my man Drew Brees with 311 fantasy points.
Okay.
Your thoughts?
My thoughts? I can't dispute Drew Brees. I'm surprised he's silver. I would probably, be, in my opinion, put him bronze, but I can't argue with that. I happen to be drinking a lot of Drew Brees Kool-Aid for a lot of years, even when he was with San Diego. So I really can't argue with it, but if it was me, I would have put him bronze, but I can't argue him being silver.
I was sipping on a little communion juice last night, and I was torn last night. I didn't know. I wanted to go both ways, and I see what you're talking about. And he was easily could have been – either one of these guys could have easily been the silver medalist regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So this takes us to our MVP of fantasy numbers this year, the guy that's been playing out of control, the guy's playing with a damn Gorilla Glue holding his neck together, and that's my man – Peyton Manning with 380 fantasy points. Kudos to my gold medalist, Peyton Manning, as our number one fantasy MVP this year. This is Red Fantasy MVP. So your thoughts on the MVP list?
Hey, well, I can't argue with Peyton Manning being number one. Like I said, you know my thoughts on the silver and bronze. But I can't argue because he balled out. I knew he would be good. I didn't think he would be that good, and he's putting up some stupid numbers week in and week out. If he throws for two touchdowns, in fact, if he throws for three touchdowns, in my opinion, because he's been balling out so much, that's a disappointment because the fact he's got so many weapons, two running backs that could be starters on any team, in my opinion, Monty Ball and Noshawn Marina, and he's got a plethora of receiving options, which is crazy to me. I mean, he's got a who in the league has the talent at the receiver and tight end position that Peyton Manning has? There's no one else that I can actually think of that has an Eric Decker, Demaryius Thomas, Wes Welker when he's healthy, and a Julius Thomas to throw to. That's crazy. And each one of these guys, I think, has a 1,000 yards and maybe 10 touchdowns apiece. That's crazy.
Yeah, never been seen in the fantasy realm ever a first this year. You're talking about four guys that could be – that are clear-cut. The receivers, three receivers that could go on another team and be a number one.
Yep.
How did the league allow Denver to pull off that signing and get Wes Walker?
Yeah.
I don't even care if I was, like, the cheapest team in the league, and I would have just took the salary cap hit and signed Wes Walker just so Denver wouldn't have got him. Like, it's unreal to me what the thought process went behind that move right there. And, hey, bro, that kind of wraps up my segment, man, of Rev's Winter Olympic. Your thoughts on the concept of the winter games.
Well, you did a good job, my man. I liked you have an honorable mention. You had silver, gold, silver, and bronze, and you brought it. You brought it. There was no slouches in any of your picks from honorable mention and to all the three medal winners. Good job. That's all I can say. It's a good job. I'm looking forward to next year's fantasy and see what the guys that are going to be picking up medals next year.
Oh, man, I can't even begin to speculate on next year's fantasy numbers. I'm just getting all giddy thinking about next year's fantasy already. I wish I could start drafting tomorrow for it.
Yeah, that's right. Because now let me put it this way. After today, what do you do? You know, you run a whole bunch of leagues. If you have multiple fantasy leagues, now you're running them from 7 days a week, checking all the numbers, see what happens in your matchups. Now that's gone after this week.
I don't know, man. I'm gonna be like depressed for the next Oh man, next couple of months, man. I don't know what I'm gonna do with myself. My wife, she might be upset. She might be happy because I might actually get some work around the house done. The rest might have to focus on some other ventures that I've kind of dived into lately. So I'm kind of nervous, man. I don't know what to do with myself without fantasy. I would play fantasy beer pong, man. Anything that fantasy would be made of, I'm down to do. So.
Right. Well, they have some websites. They have fantasy playoff type of scenarios that you can play. So, that'll wet your whistle for a short time through the playoffs. But it's nothing like competing week to week for 16 weeks, 16, 17 weeks against whoever you play, with that ultimate goal going to the Super Bowl and winning that championship. So.
You're right, man. I feel like I'm actually in it. I sweat it out week to week. The decisions that are made behind the scenes, you know, at the high level of who's going in my lineup, who's getting drafted,
mm-hmm.
you know, injury reports. Oh, my God. I feel like a real GM of a team. as much work as I put in. If I put in as much work in my normal civilian job that I do it in fantasy, man, I could probably be the president and CEO of my corporation. So, I hope my boss ain't listening to this. So.
I hear you. Well, with that being said, we got a few minutes before we get shut down here, so we're going to shut it down right now. Rev, it's been a pleasure. Hopefully I'll talk to you next week. For those who've been listening up until this point, or hopefully you catch the archives, thank you for listening. Tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, to the Master Plan with Rev Fantasy. Rev, you got anything to say before we get out of here?
Hey, no, man. It's been a pleasure working with you, JT, man. And I look forward to our future, man, and building this show and making our listeners get the gospel that we're spreading, man, and it's good stuff, and it's going to open your eyes to a lot of things, and hopefully it makes you some money and gets you paid. So I'm all about that and helping out our listeners. So for our listeners out there, thank you for standing by our show, and I just want to give a shout-out, even though we kind of bust his balls a little bit, and that's our founder, FSP. We love you, Vic. So you'll never hear me say that ever again.
And with that being said,
let's rock it out, man.
All right, with that being said, Happy New Year to all, and to all, a good night.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field, because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last, bring it all day, every play. Cause you know your boys is gonna put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it gonna be, man? You gonna leave it on the field, or you gonna leave it inside? You gonna leave it or something in your tank, or you gonna do what champions do? Leave nothing.